The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction, and Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it, and the woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling, and she fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And so he went in and he said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him, and then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. And at that, they were utterly astounded. He gave them strict orders that no one should know this, and then said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Pretty dramatic events in the gospel, eh? Yeah? And the rest of you? Yes, pretty dramatic. Welcome back, Alan and Amy. Look like you've never left, right there. Pretty dramatic. Two extraordinary stories. One, restoration to fullness of health. Second one, restoration to life, physical life. Very dramatic. I'd like to focus on the first one because here is an amazing individual, the lady with the hemorrhages for 12 years. I'd like for you to look at it in the context of being a Eucharistic story. It's a story about Eucharist, coming to Jesus Christ. This is the body of Christ. What do you want? Tell me. That's Jesus' invitation. So Eucharistic, powerful, powerful Eucharistic expression. And we see all the details and nuances as we follow along. I want you to look at it as a Eucharistic celebration. Imagine the woman, we're coming here to St. Paul's, 10:30 this morning. How would we know that she was here, a woman of such faith? Would she have got by the guard at the door? Would somebody have welcomed her? She wasn't a member. Where would she be sitting? Would she be sitting over there or here? Where would you see her? How would you know something about her and about her faith? Man, it would be a shame to have somebody with that kind of faith roll in and be unattended to and unaware. What a story. Man, you'd miss a powerful faith story. This woman was something else. The woman that came to Jesus, she was in desperate shape. For 12 years, she had been suffering from an illness and had many painful and fruitless treatments that didn't help her. In fact, it says she got worse. She went to doctors and specialists and went through the general route that we go through. It had cost her dearly. Spent everything she had. You know how that goes. When people in our country become ill, insurance and all of the other pieces. She had spent all she had. And so it would be fair to say that she had exhausted all human possibilities of healing. Right? And the rest of you? Right? Yes, it would be fair to say she had exhausted all of the human possibilities of healing. And then something happened. That's pretty dramatic. She heard about Jesus. Who told her about Jesus? As you look around in here, who would be the likely candidate that you would point to that told her about Jesus? Look around you. Go ahead. Look around you. It's not a trick. You see somebody that would be a very likely candidate to have told this woman, wow, that was big. Try Jesus. Try Jesus. Who do you see here? Was it you? Why would it not be you? Is there any reason why it would not be you? Proclaimers of faith. Who do you tell about Jesus? She hears about Jesus. And she believes that if she could just come and touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. That was a prevailing tradition in those days. If you were to touch, can I touch your shoulder? The garment of a holy person, you would receive a healing. We believe that, right? You afraid to trust me? Trust me. We believe that, right?
Right. Yes.
Where? Isn't that what relics are? Some article of clothing or something that touched the bone or something that was a part of the one that was holy, and we seek that same healing. Yes, of course we do. We believe like she did. If I can touch, hey, we like the idea. Let me touch it. God, give me the healing here. But there were some real dramatic pieces. She believed that if she could touch the hem of his garment. The lady showed a pretty extraordinary determination getting through the crowd. Being sick and ill as that woman was and getting worse, that was quite an effort to get through that crowd. But most interesting of all, She was not looking for an encounter with Jesus. She was not looking for an encounter with Jesus. What was she looking for? Healing. Hey, give me the fix. Give me the cure. She was looking for a quick fix. Rather fascinating. She'd have been a great Catholic, right? Yeah. I mean, really. She would have been absolutely right on. She could have joined up or CIA and the works. But wow, did she have something to teach us. Because we too opt for the quick fix. We like a quick fix. Amen? Amen. We sure do. From beginning to end of our lives, we like a quick fix. We like the quick mass, right? I know it ain't happening, but we do like the quick mass. Hey, St. Dominic's, right? Isn't that what it's about? Well, yes. I mean, let's be honest, it is. Why? Because we got to get on with life. We got to get on with life. It's amazing. We like the quick fix. We like the quick confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Okay, this, and hey, no pain. Just let me tell you what it is. Give me the absolution. Give me penance if you want, and then let me be on the go, and I won't bother you anymore. Right? No? Yes. Believe you me, it is. Yes, that's our experience for the most part, unless we do something significant to tailor that. Unless I sit down and make a personal appointment to really take inventory in my life. We made it that way. Quick fix. And then I believe I'm fine, at least until 2 weeks, and then I wind up with the same things again. Right? Surprise. Surprise. Yes. Or the next month, or the next 6 weeks, or whatever time, or whatever intervals I choose confession, but I like it. I do the same with my doctor, right? Come to my doctor, say, hey, doc. Yeah, tell me. Okay, that's enough now, doctor. Can you just give me the prescription and I'll be on my way? Really? There's a whole lot of it there. Just give me the quick fix and let me be on my way. I've got to get on with life. It's amazing. It's really, really interesting that we don't like to be treated in a hasty or impersonal manner. Nobody likes to be treated in a hasty or impersonal manner, right? Hello? Right, right. Hey, I have not met a person that appreciates that. In fact, it's pretty derogatory for the most part. And so it begs the question, why do I then opt for quick fix? And it's an important question. Why do I opt for quick fix? It seems contrary to all of that. Why would I shortchange all of those real possibilities and want a quick fix? And you know why? I'm sure it's because we know, you and I know, that a personal encounter is much more challenging. When I sit down and engage with you, I do not know what you're going to expect of me or what you're going to challenge me to do or to be. And God knows that's especially true with Him. We never know what may be asked of us. A personal encounter is a scary experience. It is better, we think, to sidestep that. If I can sidestep it, I will do it. I will do it at all times because we prefer to get it over with as quickly and as painlessly as possible. That's what we've taken in life. And yet the woman's faith was rewarded extraordinarily. She got her quick cure. Amazing. She got her quick cure, and she was about to slink into the crowd and fall into oblivion and anonymity with her healing. and the Lord calls her out. Sister, I have so much more for you that you never even dreamt of. The Lord called her out not to embarrass her, not to make it difficult for her. He reached out to her because it seems clear in the passage that Jesus did not believe in this kind of healing. Jesus believes in healing that renders itself into relationship with him, not just healing. Extremely important. Jesus wasn't just about giving healing, he was about relationship. He always dealt with people on a personal level, and how strikingly the passage describes it. Aware at once that power had gone out from him is a pretty clear reminder to us, an attention getter. That every cure, every healing takes something out of him. Every healing takes something out of him. In other words, he is engaged. He's not just doing. Jesus insisted on having a face-to-face encounter with this great lady. How powerful that is. He wasn't thinking of himself, he was thinking of her. He knew how humiliating and embarrassing it was in calling her out in the midst of that group. But he knew she would be so much better because of what he really wanted to give her, and he wanted to broaden her horizons and broaden her perspective. And bring her into relationship, not just give her healing. He was thinking about her, not himself. And despite the embarrassment, the fear, the trembling, he knew that she would feel better. And he fully understood that this daughter needed not just physical healing. She needed psychological healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. He knew that. 12 years? Can you believe somebody struggling for 12 years with hemorrhages and trying all of these medications and therapies and not getting any better? That was a woman that knew stress and difficulty. He was very much in touch with that. She got worse. She must have been feeling pretty bad about herself. It happens to people when they go through extended illness. And also what happens to people regularly when they go through extensive illness, they begin to lose confidence in God, that he is even there. And they can so easily feel abandoned by him. I think as Jesus looked into her being and her life, he saw those realities and he saw the need for that healing as well. Not just the physical healing. After 12 years of sickness, what a challenge. And so Jesus met her on his terms, not on hers. He had so much more to offer her, and we see his sensitivity and care. A woman with a hemorrhage in those days, religiously, was seen as being ritually unclean. By her coming into that crowd, many people, had they known, they would have said, what is she doing in here? Particularly the avid, definitive, rigorous religious leadership. What is she doing here? And by touching Jesus, she would have rendered him ritually impure as well. To touch somebody having a ritual impurity was to pass it on to them. At least that was solid in the minds of a lot of people. Look at how Jesus deals with it. No judgment, No recrimination. Nothing but love for her. No scolding, no reckoning. My daughter. How beautiful those words must have been. My daughter, your faith has saved you. You've been a part of the process. Yes, I'm celebrating and bringing forth the healing, but you have been an integral part of it because of your faith. This frightened daughter, poor, sick, trembling, untouchable, is saved by faith in him, and how she reaches out and she touches him. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Behold him who takes away the fear of the world. Come and touch. That's what Eucharist is. She had a marvelous insight into what it was to be Eucharisted. All of these people around him, touching him, and he turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples say, "You got to be kidding. I mean, who touched you? You see all of these people rubbing against you and being around you and touching you as you go back and forth. Who touched me?" he said. Confounded the disciples. He knew and she knew, and now trembling and fearful, "I'm the one who touched you. Thank you for touching me." And speaking with her and to her and extending love to her, he showed her that she was completely healed. That it wasn't some kind of a temporary or physical healing. What a comfort it must have been for that daughter. And this Eucharist, the very same, is made available to every daughter, every son. What is it you really want? What is it you are needing? How good she must have felt going home from there. And we too can share in that feeling, but it requires faith. But very interesting, we know from the totality of the scriptures that it's not just faith. Because we all say, "Well, hey God, I've got faith. Hey, let me say, I believe you can do this." But there's a little addendum. It's a difficult and challenging addendum. When I make that profession in faith, I have also got to deal with the issue of letting go. There are things I've got to let go of in order for this faith to become honest and realistic. I've got to let go of any bitterness, any resentment, any hatred, any unforgiveness. That's the difficult part. If I'm going to surrender to him in faith, then it requires precisely that. If I'm unwilling to go there, then I got to question whether I have faith or not. I got to let go of what hinders the opportunity of that healing. How much better this healing was for that lady than what she had in mind herself. How much better this healing was than an impersonal, hasty, secretive cure. Jesus made her feel as if she were the only person in the whole world. Down south here, we say, he made her day. He wants to make your day too. And all it requires is faith. But it also requires clearing the obstacles out. He wants to make your day.